Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and for those of you tuning in for the continuation of our Friday study in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, well, we finished that study last Friday, and for some reason, you didn't get the memo. So, just a quick follow-up, if you missed the conclusion of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace last week, well, no worries. You can find it in the program archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire program archive at basicgospel.net/teaching is there for you, and we hope that you will share it with your friends and with your family. And again, you can find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. So today's program will be a live program. We would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. As I mentioned yesterday, Bob Christopher is taking a little time off, and many of you, our regular listeners, are probably wondering what's going on with that. Well, Bob asked me to tell you what's going on and that he is fine after suffering a mild heart attack this past Wednesday evening, a couple of hours after the radio broadcast. Bob began experiencing some abnormal discomfort, and Jeannie quickly got him to the medical center, which was right across the street, as a matter of fact. They got things stabilized very, very quickly, and quick treatment began, and he's doing fine and expects to be home this weekend and probably back to his Basic Gospel microphone. We're hoping one day next week. Still, I'm sure many of you whose lives have been touched by Bob's ministry and the grace of Jesus Christ will want to send him a get-well wish, and you can certainly do that by sending your message to his email address, bob@basicgospel.net, and that's about as simple as it gets, bob@basicgospel.net. I know you'd love to, he'd love to hear from you. Or if you'd like to send a card, you can do that by sending it in care of the ministry. And most of you know that address, but I'll give it to you very quickly. It's 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Of course, you can find that address at the bottom of any page on our website, basicgospel.net. And the listener line is always open for you if you would like to send a good wish by voicemail. The number, 844-322-2742. That's a very usable number around here, 844-322-2742. Well, Andrew, I know you'd like to add a few words concerning Bob, as you and here are not only ministry partners but close friends as well.
Yeah, well, what a blessing that Bob and Gina were so close to the hospital and able to get this treated right away. As Bob mentioned, it was a heart attack, but they're able to put a stent in, maybe another. And our prayer, of course, is that he comes back stronger than ever. We encourage you to keep him in your prayers. You know, when you've had bad circulation and then you get a stent in, Bob, you certainly the potential for feeling better than you've felt in many, many years is right there. And so just pray for Bob and pray for the family as well as they walk through this. But signs are really good that Bob's going to be feeling better than ever. And we just want to encourage you. Reach out and let Bob know that you're thinking of him, that you're praying for him. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. And so, Bob, you know, it's just as big as DFW is, the fact that this occurred literally across the highway from a hospital that could take him in, I mean, that's something to be incredibly thankful for.
I think God probably orchestrated that particular geographical event, don't you?
Yes.
So, bottom line, Bob is doing well, but we all would appreciate your prayers for his total recovery. And for those of you who normally join Bob for Sunday Morning Live, he will be taking a break this Sunday, so no Sunday Morning Live this Sunday. Right now, Andrew and I would like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you're struggling with Bible questions or life issues, well, give us a call. That number, 844-322-2742. And regardless of when you hear the broadcast of Basic Gospel, that number is the same. So call now, 844-322-2742, because this is Basic Gospel. And Andrew, it's good to have you back with us as Bob is taking a few days off right now. Always love having you on the program with me and us. I want to start the program today, Andrew, with a question to you. The question is, you have recently termed Lordship salvation as a fraud. What did you mean by that?
Well, if you're not familiar with what Lordship salvation is, at least some flavors of it go a little something like this. Bob, it's great that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but have you truly accepted Him as Lord? And, you know, did you really, really make Him Lord of your life? How can you prove it? How can you show it? Do you have enough good works? Do you have enough fruit? Have you truly made Him Lord? Because if you only asked Him in as Savior, then my goodness, you're probably not really saved, because there's a tremendous, I mean, just a tremendous amount of repenting that you shoulda, woulda, coulda done that you didn't do. And so this sort of doctrine leads a lot of people to be like a deer in the headlights, wondering, am I really saved? Am I really righteous? Am I okay? What does God think of me? Did I mess this up? Maybe I didn't pray the right prayer. Maybe I didn't say the right words. I forgot to tack on Lord. I only tacked on salvation, so maybe I'm missing out. And, you know, it's not always portrayed like that, but that is certainly the takeaway. I can't count the emails I've gotten over the last two decades where people have been under that sort of teaching, Bob. And you look back at the reality of what it takes for a person to be saved. When we call upon the Lord to be saved, we're assuming something. First of all, we're assuming he's the Lord. Yeah. Second of all, when we're calling upon him to be saved, then there's an assumption that he has the authority to save me and that he has the power to save me. And I am submitting to him, saying, I can't save myself. Only you can save me. Now, you know, if somebody sits down on a park bench and tells me, no, Andrew, it's not about you and what you're doing. It's all about Jesus and what he did. And I say, amen to that. I've got it. It's not about me. It's about him. And so I want to receive the benefit of his finished work. And I open the door of my life. I receive his spirit. I'm born again, born of God. And then somebody else sits down on the other side of that bench and they say, now, Andrew, did you truly, truly repent? Yeah. Did you really mean it? Because, you know, 7 days ago you were spreading rumors, and 12 days ago you were lusting, and 19 days ago you were jealous of somebody. And so have you truly, truly repented of all those things? And then that opens a whole can of worms, doesn't it? I mean, how far back should I go? Should I go back a month? Should I go back a year, a decade, a lifetime? Should I try to name all the bad stuff I did? Should I try to verbally repent from all of it? How can I remember it? What about the things I forgot about? So this is a death trap. Mm. It is a bottomless pit of self-inspection. And the bottom line is, to repent and believe is to say, I'm going to turn away from believing Jesus isn't my Savior, and I'm going to turn toward believing that he is my Savior. I'm going to turn away from unbelief in Christ, and I'm going to turn toward dependency in Christ. Now, after I receive the Spirit, James, the Apostle James, says that we all stumble in many ways. That's just reality. We are learning and we are growing and we're getting our mind renewed. Romans 12 tells us that. You who are spiritual, also Paul says, if you're spiritual, find someone who's struggling, and when you see them, restore them gently to their senses, but be careful lest you too be tempted. So it's really normal to struggle. It's really normal to stumble. It's really normal to need help and counsel. And when this false doctrine comes along and says, well, now, Bob, you're just struggling too much. You must not have fully repented 19 years ago. You must not have fully repented 4 decades ago. You must have not really meant it. You didn't say it right. You didn't think it right. Your motives weren't good enough. Well, that is really accusation, and the enemy will just heap on that, and you start to feel condemnation like never before. So what's the answer? The answer is, this was never about you. It wasn't about how many sins you could renounce. It wasn't about how many sins you could stop. It wasn't about self-improvement or sin management. It is about the cross and the resurrection. It is about the grace of God. It is about receiving the free gift of righteousness. So I can hear them now, Bob. They're saying, oh, this is easy believism. And to that I would say, yes, sir, it is. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we are also told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it's easy and it's believism. But I'll tell you, people miss it because they want to earn it. They want to achieve it. There is a narrow gate. And the reason it's narrow is because people won't believe the gospel is this good. And instead, they add works to it, they add effort to it, they add fruit-bearing to it, and achievement to it. That's not how a person is saved. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a free gift of God.
Well said, well stated, my friend. Sounds like lordship salvation is a big load, but it seems like the truth really lightens that load, huh?
Amen. Amen.
844-322-2742. Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we love to hear from you. And as a matter of fact, right now, we're going to go to Monticello, New York, and talk with Frida. Hi, Frida. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi. First, I want to say I'm sorry about, you know, what happened to Bob, but, you know, thank God he was very close to the hospital and definitely keeping in my prayers. And I just want to say I'm sorry that I'm calling again so soon. I promise I'll take a break after this.
No problem at all. None.
But my question for today is, when Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do," like, I thought with forgiveness there had to be blood, so how could he, what did he mean when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," if there wasn't a blood sacrifice or anything?
Yeah, that's a great question, Frida. Well, this is not the one and only time that Jesus mentions forgiving other people. He tells people their sins are forgiven, and the Pharisees just freak out on him. They say, "Well, you can't say that. I mean, only God can forgive sins." And in a sense, then, Jesus right then and there is proclaiming himself to be God, because he's telling people their sins are forgiven. And in Luke 23, we see the very same thing. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that's when they divided up his clothes and started casting lots. But yeah, no sins are forgiven without blood. You're right about that. It's just that, who controls that bloodshed? Who authored it? Who is the one who initiated it? Well, we know the answer to that. It's God, God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in fact, we read that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So I think the answer is that the sacrifice of Christ is timeless. It works backwards. It works forward. It works concerning the believers in the Old Testament. It works toward us as well. So the cross is the centerpiece of all of human history. And what Jesus accomplished there in terms of bloodshed is a once for all time, once for all sacrifice for those in the old and those in the new. So you're absolutely right that we can't, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But Jesus did shed his blood, and that has effects forward and backward throughout eternity. In fact, you could say that it's a timeless, eternal event because of the incredible impact it's had in both directions. So when Jesus speaks with authority about forgiveness and proclaims that someone's sins are forgiven, it's because he is God, and he can proclaim those things, and he's the one that went to the cross, so he has the authority to say those things, Bob.
Yes, indeed. And Frida, you don't have to worry about taking a break. We love hearing from you, and you just keep calling until you get all your questions answered, and then you can call and then you can call and say thank you for the answers.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
844-322-2742.
We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis. 844-322-2742. Friends, it's a true thing that the world is built on division, literally. In stark contrast, God's grace is a gift of unity. And as believers, we are united in Christ with a common message, common purpose, and a common mission. And we invite you to celebrate what connects us at an exciting Bible conference called United, presented by Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. Now, this conference is going to be held October 15th through the 17th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas, and we want to see you there. The United Conference, October 15th through the 17th, and right now I encourage you to do something rash and radical and impulsive. Just go online right now to basicgospel.net/united. And register. Register today, friends. We want you to be here. It's our chance for the first time in a long time to get back together united in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, register now at basicgospel.net/united. Well, Andrew, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Daryl, and I'm calling regarding grace. And I understand that grace is sufficient, that without God's grace, we would not be permitted into this kingdom. I'm wondering, do you think that there's a misunderstanding with grace, that people can take advantage of grace to where they have a form of godliness and deny its power, and instead of walking in the power of God and standing firm and standing up for what's right and what's just? So I got my question is, can the scriptures be twisted? And I know they can, but can they be twisted, what it means to have grace? Anyways, I want you guys to have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah. Well, Bob, certainly, you know, Daryl's question is super important. It's one that any thinking believer should be asking because, look, there is so much grace. Romans 5 says we're standing in grace. There's grace before us, behind us, beneath us. We're living under grace. The scripture calls it grace upon grace. We hear Paul speaking of the abundance of God's grace and the free gift of righteousness. So at some point you have to ask what Romans 6 is asking. Should we just go on sinning? You know, why don't we just all go hang out in lazy boy chairs, smoke some pot, and just chill out? I had somebody ask me that the other night. You know, if my sins are all forgiven and if I'm accepted and loved and living under grace, then why not just chill out, take a chill pill, forget behavior, forget attitudes and actions, and just follow whatever feeling I might get? And you start to say, well, hang on, have you tried that yet? Because a Christian can be totally forgiven and miserable, and that is a surefire way to be miserable. If you're dead to sin, and God says you are, if you're dead to sin, then you're not going to love it. I mean, you just can't love it. Long term, you might feel that you love it. You might think you're going to love it. But the bottom line is that sin is going to eat your lunch. And the reality, you know, you start in that direction and all kinds of alarms go off inside of you. You've got that new heart. You've got a new spirit. You've got God's spirit living in you as your counselor. And man, it is all hands on deck when you choose to go in a direction that is not of your nature, not of your heart. Man, it is not going to work out. God has the market cornered on contentment, and there is no fulfillment outside of expressing him. So can people take advantage? Well, yeah. I mean, 2 Timothy 3, Daryl's practically quoting it word for word. It says that there's a group of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And Paul says, don't have anything to do with such people. So they're using the name of Jesus and, you know, they're being real religious. But the bottom line is there's no power living within them. In other words, there's no Jesus living in them. And if you truly have Christ living in you, Titus chapter 2 says the grace of God is going to teach us to live an upright life. And I hope everybody hears that, upright life. And that's the grace of God that does that. So absolutely, people can take advantage, they can twist things, but they're not going to be happy. And that's the bottom line, is that the joke's on them, and, right, and the joke's on us when we think that somehow we're going to chase after the things of the world and walk after the flesh and somehow be content. It just doesn't work that way.
Sure.
So, you know, I think at the end of the day, we got a lot of Christians who understand about half of the gospel, and they understand the heaven part, they understand the forgiveness part to some degree, but then they think, well, this is just going to make me do whatever I want, and then they're scared of what they want, and it's because they don't know what they want. And you're going to discover your new wants. You're going to discover your new desires one way or another. You're going to sin and be miserable, or you're going to trust Jesus and be fulfilled.
Yeah.
But either way, you prove your new identity in Christ.
Absolutely. Daryl, hope you're listening. What a great answer, and I hope that's a help to you as well. We're trying to get to as many questions as we can today, friends, and we had this one from Regina in Red Oak, Texas. And she says she's watching a transformation in her brother who says he's getting closer to God, but not necessarily to Jesus. Regina says, I think he's in a relationship with Jesus Christ and doesn't even know it. He said he's not there yet. And I reply that God will finish the work that he started, and I think I scared him, she says. So her question is it possible for God to come into someone's life, start transforming them, and then later reveal the truth about Jesus? Could God be bringing my brother into a deeper knowledge of Jesus without him even knowing it?
Well, here's the thing. You look at Acts chapter 17, and Paul sort of relates their experience to Jesus. He sees this altar. There's an altar to an unknown God. And Paul says, for I was passing through, and I was examining the objects of your worship, and I found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. And I love this passage, Bob, because, you know, he's building a bridge. He's taking what they already know or think they know about God, and he is bridging the gap and building something, a transition to talk about Jesus. And I would say to Regina that she can do the very same thing here. We don't have to judge the situation. We don't have to fully understand the situation. But certainly she can be saying things like, well, you know, I think it's fantastic that you're learning about God. I think it's awesome that you're thinking new God thoughts. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that we can best understand God in Jesus. Yes. And by looking to who he is, his life, his death, his ministry, his resurrection. So let me tell you about this Jesus that I've come to know. And by the way, you know, you get down to brass tacks here and you find out in Acts chapter 4 that there's one name. There's one name under heaven by which we can be saved. And John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus called himself the door and the gate. So we've got to bring people to the place where they confront who Jesus Christ is and what he did for them. And if you can build a bridge with someone's current knowledge or someone's current experience with God, or even if they're wrong about a few things, we don't have to sit there and point fingers and try to dice up the details. We can say, wow, you're interested in God? Well, I am too. Let me tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
And you can build a beautiful bridge that way. So, Regina, keep it up. I'm so glad that you're caring enough to be asking these important questions. Look for the Spirit of God to encourage you and inspire you in the right way at the right time to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, going to squeeze in one final question on this edition. This is from Magnus, Andrew. He says, yeah. I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but why is it that I'm afraid of dying?
Well, that's not an uncommon thing. I mean, Hebrews chapter 2 talks about this. It says the devil's involved, the enemy's involved. It says, since the children, that's us, have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those, get this, free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So the answer is Jesus Christ, and the fact that actually you don't really truly die. You fall asleep physically, but you're an eternal being with eternal life, and Jesus' life in you is indestructible. So you don't have to be afraid of what's on the other side of that curtain. The answer is Jesus Christ himself, you and the Lord face to face. Now that's something to look forward to.
Oh, man, that's really good news, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that, and well, we love giving you a good workout when you're joining us on the broadcast, and we did today, so thanks again, my friend.
Friends,
thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel today. We'd like to send you a new resource to say thanks for your gift to keep the message of grace in Jesus Christ going forward. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. To make your gift, just click donate at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. Again, basicgospel.net.
As I said earlier, Bob Christopher wants you to know that he's doing fine following a mild heart attack and is expected to return to these microphones one day next week. That's my expectation, and I think it's an accurate one. But please, remember Bob in your prayers, and if you'd like to send good wishes his way, we'll send him an email to his email address, bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net, or through the ministry, and the address, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And as a reminder, there will be no Sunday morning live internet stream this Sunday morning. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a blessed weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and inviting you to join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.